Throughout the season of Lent, we've been making our way through the biblical story by going from tree to tree. God's story begins with an important tree in the Garden of Eden. It ultimately ends at the tree of life. But in between, there are other important trees that help tell the story of God's grand redemptive plan. And so last week was the cedar tree in the book of Hosea, and the role of repentance in the Christian life. And one of the things that we observed together was how repentance and saving faith go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. Repentance is a necessary part of the ongoing Christian life, and it's one of the reasons we have a time of confession every Sunday morning. Repentance, of course, is an important part of one's conversion and how one receives salvation. And we're going to see that this morning in our study of Zacchaeus. And so let me just state up front that our study today isn't so much about the kind of tree that Zacchaeus climbs, but rather how God uses that tree and an even more important tree to give Zacchaeus the gift of salvation. Our passage today is all about the conversion of Zacchaeus. But before we dig in, let's go to God in prayer. Father, it's a familiar story to many of us, this story of Zacchaeus. And within this story, Lord, help us to also see our own story. But even more importantly, see your story and your grand redemptive plan for sinners such as us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Your friends in Jesus Christ, let me begin this morning by just saying how grateful I am to work with gifted teachers such as Marjo. I think it was about 10:15 that I asked her, is there any way you can work in the singing of Zacchaeus into your children's message this morning? Because otherwise, I might have to sing it as a solo to begin. And I don't know what motivated, but she worked it in beautifully into the children's message this morning. The fact that Zacchaeus is apparently vertically challenged is certainly an important part of the story. And it's at least one of several reasons that he feels compelled to climb the tree. But it's not the first thing that Luke tells us about Zacchaeus. There's other important characteristics and comparisons that he wants us to take note of. You see, one of the things that Luke likes to do throughout his gospel is to place two characters side by side in order to make an important point. Mary and Elizabeth, Zechariah and Joseph, Mary and Martha. You get the picture. It's a key characteristic of Luke's writing style. And now at the end of chapter 18, we read about Jesus healing a blind beggar on his way to Jericho. And then when he enters the city of Jericho, Jesus also gives the gift of salvation to this wealthy tax collector named Zacchaeus. Two conversion stories, one man incredibly poor, the other filthy rich. Both want to see Jesus. And Luke's point is that the grace of Jesus Christ is for everyone. Rich, poor, tall, small, doesn't matter. God's grace is available for all who will receive. Who is Zacchaeus? As a Jewish tax collector, Zacchaeus was naturally despised. It means he was a Roman collaborator. Not only did he collect a significant amount of money for those occupying, but he also collected a good chunk of change for himself. And since the city of Jericho is a prosperous city on a famous trade route, Zacchaeus is probably filthy rich. While others are suffering with extreme economic hardship, greedy Zacchaeus probably has more than a little disposable income. In addition, Luke tells us that he was the chief tax collector, which means he had a position of power and authority over other tax collectors. He had people working underneath him. Think rich politician. That's Zacchaeus. The Bernie Sanders or Mitch McConnells of the ancient world. Tax collectors were not very popular. And even today, if you work for the IRS, that's probably not something you usually brag about at the Friday night weekend party. But in those days, it was worse. Tax collectors were known as swindlers, cheats, traitors to their own people. It's probably one of the reasons nobody gave Zacchaeus room to see Jesus in the first place. It's also why they are all grumbling when Jesus invites himself over to his house. Why in the world would Jesus associate with such a hated man as Zacchaeus? Certainly that's beneath Jesus' dignity. A true loyal Jew would never associate with such a man. Of course, what they failed to understand is that salvation itself is for sinners, for outsiders, for outcasts, for swindlers, for cheats, for low-life people such as Zacchaeus, and also for those of us who tend to think we have it more together than we really do. You see, the truth is that at some point in our life, we all need to be converted. We all need to be born again. If you haven't been born again, you're probably not a Christian. You see, there are many people who are born into a Christian home, and their idea of true faith is that of trying to work really hard at the Christian life, striving to live a good moral life. I've been born into a Christian family, and if I just try to live a good, pure life, God will be pleased with me. And it's that kind of thinking that takes place all the time. But as C.S. Lewis writes, Jesus didn't come to make us nice. He came to make us new. Righteousness is not something we can give to God, but it's what he gives to us through the finished work of his Son. That's what changes us. That's how we're converted. Sometimes one's conversion story is very dramatic. Think Saul on the road to Damascus. Sometimes a person will experience a significant life crisis. They'll undergo a dramatic change. Well, that's how some people are converted. Maybe that's the way you were born again. But for others, perhaps their conversion story is much more quiet and subtle. It doesn't take place out of an act of desperation, but out of personal curiosity, persistence. In other words, their conversion story is more like Zacchaeus than it is of Paul. Let's take a closer look at some of the important elements in Zacchaeus' story. Verse 3 tells us that Zacchaeus wants to see who Jesus is. No doubt he's heard people talking about Jesus. There's already a huge commotion in the city because Jesus has arrived. Maybe Zacchaeus has also heard that Jesus is a little sympathetic to morally suspect people such as himself. Zacchaeus is seeking. He's curious about who this Jesus person is. Curious enough that he wants to see him. I doubt many people in Jesus' day would expect Zacchaeus to have much interest in spiritual things. And so certainly Zacchaeus' curiosity is a reminder to us that we too might be rather surprised by who is interested in knowing more about Jesus. It could be anyone. Anyone in our social circles. It could be someone who we would at least expect. Take note as well of the great lengths that Zacchaeus goes to catch a glimpse of Jesus. He's willing to give up all of his present dignity and pride, Not only does this important tax collector run ahead, something dignified adults rarely did in those days, but even climbs up a tree to get a better view. How many wealthy politicians do you know who go about climbing a tree in order to see others? And don't dwell on this too much, but considering the kind of clothing people wore in those days, it's fair to say that Zacchaeus probably isn't exactly presenting a dignified view of himself to those below. The point is that Zacchaeus is willing to pay a high price to see Jesus. He's willing to forgo his pride. Often the biggest barrier between our hearts and salvation. Zacchaeus is willing to be ridiculed by those around him. Climbing trees is something children do, not adults. Certainly not adults with an important role in the community like Zacchaeus. And yet being willing to look silly to yourself and to those around you is a necessary part of being a Christian. You see, Jesus says that unless we become like little children, we'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, unless we're willing to lay down our pride and come to him with humility and the trust of a little child, we'll never know true salvation. Being willing to forgo our dignity, our pride, is a necessary part of salvation itself. And here's the thing. When we do trust and believe in God with the faith of a little child, he also fills our hearts and our lives with childlike wonder and delight. A childlike wonder that will stay with us for the rest of our lives. So there's the first important thing that we see about Zacchaeus. A willingness to climb a 30-foot sycamore tree in order to see Jesus more clearly. A willingness to lay down his pride and humble himself in order to get a closer look at the only one who can save him from himself. Note, too, that Zacchaeus doesn't seem to care about what others are saying about him. If anything, we might expect Zacchaeus to lash out at those who are blocking his view. Get out of my way or I'll double your taxes. That's what we would expect him to say. But he wants to see Jesus. And he's not too interested in seeing many of the self-righteous people in the crowd who are following him. The people who are grumbling that Jesus is even willing to talk to Zacchaeus. Maybe Zacchaeus has heard that Jesus is gentle with sinners such as himself. That this Jesus always seems to be inviting tax collectors, murderers, and even sexual sinners to come and to be with him. You see, Jesus is almost always gentle and grace-filled to those whom society deems hopeless. In fact, the people that Jesus is most hard on are the people that are pride-filled, those religious leaders. He once even said to them, "I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." It's no wonder Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus so bad. It's also what's at the very heart of the gospel itself. At the end of our text today, Jesus makes it clear that the very purpose of his coming is to seek and to save what was lost. In other words, Jesus saves by sheer grace. We have nothing to do with it. And never is that more evident than here in the story of Zacchaeus. You see, Zacchaeus may have wanted to see Jesus, but as it turns out, it's really Jesus who's going after Zacchaeus. Luke tells us that when Jesus arrives at the sycamore tree, he looks up and he says to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." It's remarkable. Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name, as if he's known him for all eternity, which he has. And then essentially he says to him, "Hurry down, my friend. I'm coming to visit you today." Jesus is inviting himself over to Zacchaeus' house to dine with this morally corrupt Roman collaborator. And the people are furious. Maybe if Jesus had said, "Zacchaeus, stop cheating the people around you, you greedy slimeball. Then I'll come and see you." Maybe then they would understand. Or "Zacchaeus, clean up some things in your life first. Then you'll be welcome down here." But cleaning up his life first isn't a precondition of Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house. Jesus is not like the Wizard of Oz. He doesn't say, "Bring me the broomstick of the wicked witch, then I'll give you an audience." He simply says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. In spite of your sin, I want to go do life with you. I want to live with you." Again, righteousness is not something that we give to God. It's something that he gives to us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. In those days, the evening meal was the center of family life. To host someone at the evening meal was to invite them into the intimate areas of your life. The use of the words "welcomed," "guest" in verses 6 and 7 imply that Zacchaeus is about to give Jesus room and board. In other words, Jesus is going to live with him for a while. "I'm coming to your house," he says to Zacchaeus. Later in verse 9, Jesus says, "Salvation has come to this house." In other words, wherever Jesus is present, salvation is too. And he wants to be present in every intimate area of our lives, every nook and cranny. No doubt Zacchaeus is well aware that Jesus is willing to bear the scorn and the anger of the crowd in order to spend time with him. And it's a preview of the kind of ultimate scorn and disdain that Jesus will experience for every one of us so that we might receive salvation. Costly love. That's the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. The story goes that upon receiving Jesus' invitation of grace, Zacchaeus comes down the sycamore tree immediately. He welcomes Jesus gladly. It's a sign of saving faith. Zacchaeus trusts Jesus. He responds accordingly. He welcomes Jesus into his home. He welcomes him into his heart. And what's also true is that God's grace always changes a person. It's often a sign that salvation has been received. It's a necessary part of one's conversion. Zacchaeus isn't saved because he's now willing to give away his money. But the giving away of his money is certainly a sign that he's been converted, that he's been saved. The Old Testament tithing requirement was 10%. Zacchaeus now pledges to give 50%. Another Old Testament law was that if you cheated anybody out of money, you needed to pay that back in full plus 20% interest. Here in our text, Zacchaeus is offering to pay back those he cheated 400%. I'd submit that it's because Zacchaeus knows that he's a recipient of God's generous grace, that he's now generously giving back to others. He acknowledges his greed, his extortion, his theft, his fraud. He promises to make it right. And just like we studied last week, this repentance isn't a one-time event. No, it's a life change. Zacchaeus is committing himself to a radical change in lifestyle. As is usually the case, money and power go together. Not only is Zacchaeus willing to financially give away sacrificially in a way that is certainly going to affect his lifestyle, he's also willing to give away his power and his position. You see, Zacchaeus not only intellectually understands the gospel, but by his willingness to give up his money and power, it's obvious that God's grace has overwhelmed his heart. You see, if you aren't yet willing to lose everything for Jesus, if you have a tendency to resent giving anything away, you still have a ways to go to fully understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. Out of his perfect love for us, Jesus willingly gave up everything. The glory of heaven itself, his very life. Jesus willingly gives up his power so that we might be saved. And his grace, it's not only for greedy rich politicians like Zacchaeus, it's also for you and for me. And what's also true is that in Jesus Christ, we have all the wealth and all the power we'll ever need. We are heirs of a king. We are children of a heavenly Father. And there is nothing we can do to cause him to love us any more or any less than he already does. Because in Jesus Christ, we already have all that we will ever need. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.